Began to sing this song in church one Sunday morning, and boy, I tell you what, God began to minister to me. He began to show me the things that I was asking Him, and He began to give me some revelation on some things. It's very simplistic, as I teach the ones of you that know me. It's always a word picture, and this morning's going to be the same thing. And I'm going to teach you this morning how to worship in the rain. Mickey was going through the hardest time in her life with Meniere's disease, and no hearing in one ear and almost completely gone in the other, and yet she's able to do this, what she's doing this morning. Just amazing what God does through her. So I just want you to let the Lord minister to you as Mickey and the music group just share this powerful song called Worship in the Rain. So hallelujah, Mickey, just share it.
Open wide when I worship in the rain. choose to raise my hands, and I choose to lift my voice. I choose to raise my hands, and I choose to lift my voice. I choose to raise my hands, and I choose to lift my voice. I choose to raise my hands, and I choose to lift my voice.
Praise offering this morning.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to dismiss the children at this time to go to their classes. We have nursery, preschool, and children and youth. Youth go with Miss Sherry here. You want to go, or you may stay in the sanctuary. Thank you, praise and worship team.
Hallelujah! Isn't that an awesome song? Amen. It's powerful, man. It is so powerful. So powerful. And let me just say this. I go a lot of places. God has allowed me to travel extensively all over the United States. And Joni doesn't get to go a lot with me, but she's with me this morning. Joni, would you stand up? This is my wife. God's just really blessed me. I'm glad she got to come with me today. And I think she and Laverne are sisters from another mother. So, hallelujah. Would you turn with me to the book of Numbers, chapter 20? I'm not going to preach real long this morning or teach real long, but I've got a revelation for you this morning that God poured out inside of me. Revelation chapter 20, or Numbers chapter 20. Then the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, went into the desert of Zin in the first month. The people abode in Kodesh, and Miriam died there and was buried there. There was no water for the congregation. They gathered themselves together against Moses and Aaron. The people chode with Moses, or fought with him and argued with him, and spake, saying, "Would God that we had died with our brothers, died before the Lord. Why bring you this congregation? Why this congregation of the Lord has been brought into this wilderness, and we and our cattle should die there? Wherefore you made us to come up out of Egypt, to bring us to this evil place." Listen to this. It's a place of no seed, no figs, no vines, no pomegranates. Neither is there water to drink. Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the people of the assembly into the house of the tabernacle of the congregation. They fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. And the Lord spoke unto Moses and said, "Take your rod and gather thou the assembly together, and thy brother Aaron, and speak to the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth its water, and it shall bring forth water out of the rock, and you shall give the congregation and their beasts to drink." Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. He and Aaron gathered the people, the congregation together before the rock, and said unto them, "Hear you, rebels." You ever want to say that to your church, Pastor Jerry? I'm sure not here. "Must we fetch your water out of this rock? Must we fetch your water out of this rock?" Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice. And the congregation drank, and their beast also. The rest of that chapter says, and the Lord spake unto Moses and said, because you didn't obey me, you're not going to the promised land. I told you to speak to the rock. You struck it. And I began to see something about the water and the Spirit of the Lord. It's so appropriate that it's raining this morning. Last week, I stood in El Paso, Texas, which, by the way, is the safest city in the United States, believe it or not. It's one of the top 16 largest cities in the United States, and it's one of the safest cities there. And I met with the city council of the city of El Paso, and I met with the director, the CIO of that. We had dinner tonight, that night, and I asked him, I said, so tell me, you're in El Paso, which is the safest city in the United States, and that's documented. And right across the river, as a matter of fact, I'm looking across the river in New Mexico to Juarez, and it's the most dangerous city in the world. As a matter of fact, it's more murders there than any place in the world. And just a little bit of history, a lady named Lena Midian is the woman that gave birth to a child who is the youngest woman in history to ever give a birth to a child. She was 5 years, 7 months, and 17 days old because human trafficking and children rape in Juarez is unbelievable. And I said to this man, why is El Paso so safe? And right across the river, it seems that it's just a devil's place. And he kind of smiled and looked at me and he said, oh, we all carry guns here. We'll just shoot you. And I went, okay. He said, no, I'm not kidding. He said, they don't come over here because we don't put up with this. God, and he spoke these words, he said, God has given us a city and we're going to take care of our city. And I didn't ask any more questions. But that day after I finished my job there, and I had 3 or 4 hours, and I got in my car, and I drove up to a place called Scenic Drive, which is just out of El Paso. It's about 4,000 or 5,000 feet up on the side of the mountain. And I got out of my car, and I stood there, and I looked at panoramic as far as I could see here, all the way as far as I could see here, and I could see El Paso and Juarez and all of that whole region. And it was a beautiful sight to look that far from. And after I finished there, I thought, I wonder what it's like out of here. So I drove kind of northwest up into the desert. And all at once, I'm in a place where there's no water. There's no plants. Just a few scrubby pines here and there. And a little bitty bush that they call a tree once in a while. And some old cactus. And as I drove there, there was a little pull-off on the road. And there was a big rock there. And I got out of my car, and it was about 105 degrees, and I walked a very short distance up to that rock and just stood there, kind of a round rock, and I walked around it, and God began to minister to me, and he said, remember the story of Moses and the rock? And it came to me, I wonder if I struck this rock, if water would come out. And as I stood there all at once, I began to see a picture of an old cowboy with his old leather hat and his horse, and he's trying to get out of the desert to get to somewhere where there's water and there's food and there's life and something's green, and he's going across that desert or over in the Middle East, an old camel driver, and he has his camels, and he's going across the desert, and all at once in the distance, he sees this little strip of sand that's kind of a dark tan color and a little bit of green kind of showing in it, and he begins to remember the stories that he was told before he left for his journey about this nation of people. This bunch of people that came out of captivity that God delivered through all kinds of miracles. And they came out of this captivity, and somewhere in the middle of the desert as they walked around Sinai for 40 years and around, somewhere in the middle of that, they began to murmur and complain. We're tired of getting water out of cactus plants. There's no water here. And they began to get mad at Moses, and Moses struck that rock and the water came out. And then everywhere they went, think about this, hundreds of thousands of people and all of their cattle and all of their sheep and all were watered out of this rock. Can you imagine how much water came out of that rock? What the pressure was of the water that came out of this little rock. And it was so small, they actually carried it around with them. And I begin to see this picture of this old man as he sees this soft spot in the sand, and all at once it comes to his mind. That people of God must have been here. And then he starts to laugh at the mirage of believing that there can be water in the middle of the desert. They sent me to the lake there in El Paso, and when I drove up, it's a dam. And there's no water. It's a 50-foot high dam all the way across, and it's an empty lake. And this old man began to say, okay. And the closer he got, finally he got there, and sure enough, the sand was wet. And it was soft. He put his hand down in the sand. He began to dig a hole out in the sand, and he took all his water containers, and he filled all his water containers up in the middle of the desert, because you see, water came out of a rock, because there was a church somewhere that still knew how to get water out of the rock and water the desert. And he sat down in the middle of it in his old leather chaps and his seven-day-old breeches that he had on that were so nasty and dusty. And he just began to dig and dig. And he made a hole in the rock or in the sand. And he got down in that water and just bathed in it. And then he got up. He began to follow that sandy, wet river in the desert. Because you see, he had heard another story that when you find these people, there's manna, there's word. She said it this morning. There's word that falls out of the heavens every day. I wonder if there's a church. I wonder if there's anybody still in America with all the mess we live in and people killing each other just because they're there to kill. I wonder if there's still a church that can make a river in the desert of the nation we live in. And I wonder if there's still a place where the manna of the word will still raise you from the dead after you've been dead for 30 minutes. We sang it this morning. I couldn't sit down. I couldn't sit down because my brother came up because of the manna that fell. And I see that old cowboy as he walks along, and I see him finding that church. And I see him like the young lady that we heard about this morning that said, I got this thing I'm supposed to look up. I don't know where it is, but the manna came down and she began to eat of that manna. And she met a man named Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Because somewhere in Columbia, Kentucky, on the lake, there's a rock. And the water still comes out. And it still waters the desert. And the desert blooms. And there's a river in the desert. I wonder if there's still rain in the desert. and rivers of living water. Or if we've thrown the rock away, it's gotten too heavy to carry. God help us. And I said, okay, God, this is all really, really good. This is all really, really good. And he took me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, and it says, and all did drink all the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus. A few Sundays ago when Mickey sang this song at church, God began to speak to me, and he began to give me revelation about how his blood covers me. And just like Ricardo said this morning, and by the way, you're so blessed with this praise and worship team. Oh my goodness. I hope you know how fortunate you are. They are awesome. Just like he said this morning, it's going to pour out. Joel chapter 2 says, be glad, you children of Zion. Rejoice in the Lord your God, for he has given you the former rain, and he will come down on you for the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. Your floors shall be full of wheat. Your money shall overflow. Everything you have, your vats will overflow with wine and oil. And I will restore unto you all the years that have been stolen from you. And you shall know that I'm in your midst. Now turn over to one more scripture, Exodus chapter 24. And I'm going to paint the word picture for you. Exodus chapter 24, verse 7. Took the book of the covenant and you read the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made concerning you, all these words. If you today go to a city in West Virginia called White Sulphur Springs, about two blocks from an old fish hatchery there, there's a little gray house that sits there. I lived in that house when I was about 10 or 11 years old. There's a white picket fence that ran between that house and the neighbor's house. And every day I was friends with a neighbor boy and we played together all the time. And every day I would run across my yard and I would put my hand on one of the top of that picket fence and I would jump across that fence and my mother would scream out the door, don't jump that fence! Someday you're going to fall on that fence and it's going to kill you. Well, she prophesied it. One day I went running across there and I hit my hand on my favorite little spike on top of that picket fence and my hand slipped and that picket went right in my neck right here. It missed my jugular vein about a fourth of an inch, but it got a bunch of other veins and blood began to fly everywhere out of my neck, and Mom come out the door instead of saying, how are you? She said, I told you you was going to fall on that fence. Church today, this Sunday morning in the rain, if you go to White Sulphur Springs and you go to that little gray house where that picket fence used to be and you start digging and you find some method that will allow you to see every molecule of dirt and water and mud under that fence, somewhere down deep in the bottom of that, there's going to be a voice crying out to you, because my DNA is still under that fence in West Virginia, because my blood is there. And it'll begin to cry out to you, Bill Smith was here. If you go to Harrodsburg, Kentucky today, on top of an old cistern, about 5 miles out of Harrodsburg, where I owned a big old Ford truck, and the transmission went out, and I decided to change it myself, and I jacked it up, and it came off of the jack, and that's why this finger doesn't bend on that last notch. It dropped on my finger, cut my finger almost completely off, crushed the bone into 17 pieces, and the doctor said, "We'll cut it off." I said, "You're not cutting my finger off. Sew that sucker back on." He said, "It's going to die." I said, "It's not going to die. I wasn't even born again, I don't guess, then." It was in college, so Laverne says I wasn't. But it grew back. But I'm telling you, if you start digging down in the concrete on that old cistern top, and you finally look down at the dirt where the water washed the blood off of that cistern top, there's down deep there somewhere, there's a molecule that says the DNA of Bill Smith is still in this dirt. Oh, you're going to love this. This is going to set you so free. If you go to Las Vegas, Nevada, you go in the Cosmopolitan Hotel Casino on the second floor in a bar where we had set up huge 85-inch screens. And I had a co-worker that didn't want to work, and he was helping me take one of those down, and it was too heavy, so he just dropped it. He didn't care enough about the company that paid everything for him. He didn't care enough to even protect it. And I reached down and grabbed that thing, and it sliced my hand an inch and a half all the way to the bone. And the bartender came out. He said, "I can help you with this." And he took a bottle of vodka. I know you would never have that poured on you. He poured that vodka all over that. And you talk about dancing before the Lord. Oh, Jesus, I danced. We wrapped the thing up with an old dish towel, and I finished my work. But if you pull the carpet up in that bar in the Cosmopolitan, and you begin to dig in that concrete where that display was sitting, you're going to hear the blood of Jesus, and you're going to see the blood of Bill Smith as it screams out at you, "He was here." If you go to 2415 Southside Road in Knoxville, Tennessee, and by the way, Mickey drove all the way from Knoxville this morning to do that song for us. In a little thing that I called a garden, at that time all I had was about 4 feet by about 12 feet. Joni wanted a grapevine, so I put her up a trellis. And I had to cut some vines off of a post to nail it to, and one of the vines was my finger. And if you dig in that clay dirt, there's going to come a voice screaming out of that dirt, the DNA of Bill Smith is in this garden. If you go across the road to the house we bought, and you go in my front yard where my garden tractor, the headlight went out on it, and I decided to change the bulb, and I took my hand and I unscrewed that bulb, and when I did, it burst in my hand and cut my fingers, and blood flew all over my front yard. If you dig in my front yard, you're going to hear the DNA and the blood of Bill Smith begin to cry out at you, because I was there and my blood soaked there. It may just be a molecule, but it's there. I decided to make a garden in my backyard. I didn't know there was an old road there. Big old rocks in there, and I had a tiller, one of these walk-behind tillers that had the tangs behind, and I'm not as let's just say I'm not as strong as I was at one time, and that thing hit an iron pipe under there. I didn't know there was an old water pipe, and that tiller jumped from about me to Bobby Reynolds sitting back there, and it threw me across the top of it, jammed my hand all up under the belt, cut it wide open. The DNA of Bill Smith will come screaming out of that dirt in that garden. Brother Bill, where are you going with this? If you go to a place in the Mideast called Golgotha, oh, hallelujah, the place of the tomb, if you walk down the Via Dolorosa, the road he walked to Calvary, if you go down the Via Dolorosa, which in Jerusalem that day, I love this, the soldiers tried to clear a narrow path, but the crowd pressed to see a man condemned to die on Calvary. He was bleeding from a beating. Come on, church. Are you getting this? There were stripes on his back, and he wore crowns on his head, and the blood ran out of those thorns and dripped on the ground. Like a lamb came the Messiah, the King of glory, and he chose to walk that road because he loves me and you. You'll find the blood of a man named Jesus screaming from the cobbled streets and the dirt under the stones and the side of that mountain where they placed the cross that Jesus was put on, and his blood poured out probably like no man before. And that blood ran down the side of that hill. Oh, don't you miss this. This is such a powerful revelation of what makes the word so true today. The lightning flashed. The rains came. And the blood began to flow down that hill from cobblestones to the little ditches that ran beside the streets. And it flowed from the little ditches to the little streams. And it flowed from the little streams to a little bit bigger river. And then it flowed to the river. And eventually, that blood of Jesus flowed all the way to the sea. Sea dumped in the ocean. And the sun began to shine. Oh, hallelujah. The sun began to shine, and the water impregnated with those molecules of the blood of Jesus began to raise itself up as a mist and a fog out of that sea into a cloud. And as I've flown all over the United States and everywhere else, I see these thunderheads 35, 40,000 feet high, and they begin to bump together, and the wind began to blow them gently across the ocean, and they begin to come to a land called the United States of America, and the clouds impregnated with the actual blood of Jesus made its way across America. To a little town called Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Sometime back, I was at a rod run in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, in my Infiniti with the windows down, driving 2 miles an hour. The rain began to fall, and the raindrops began to hit my arm, splatter on my face. The blood of Jesus began to cover my physical body through the raindrops that fell from the side of a mountain called Golgotha. that had floated all the way across the world and rained on me. Are you getting this? Oh, how powerful. All that anointing for my healing, for my life, for my finances, for everything I've ever needed in my life. All of that power of the blood of Jesus began to be absorbed by the skin on my arms and my face. And I went to Cracker Barrel with my wife, Joni, and we sat down and they brought us a glass of water and I took a drink of that water and impregnated in that water at Cracker Barrel. You can't filter it out. Is the molecules of a man named Jesus that flowed down the hill in a place called Golgotha, and I began to drink of that blood and it found its way through the walls of my intestine and eventually ended up flowing in my bloodstream. So now I'm not some adopted kid. I'm not some kid that they just got in because I signed something legal. I am an adopted son, blood bought, blood talked, blood transfused, and blood infused, full brother of the Lord Jesus Christ because the blood. Church, when I saw this, it blew my doors off. And I said, God, you've shown me how powerful what you created here is. And that your blood actually is inside of me. I can't go to some scientist and they can dig it out. I can't find a way that I can show it to you. But I'm telling you what. That life-giving, powerful blood of Jesus flows inside of us. Come on, Mickey. I'm in a place in my life where you don't need to stand in a prayer line and have somebody counsel you in a prayer line for 30 minutes. You don't need to come and beg, oh God, do it, God, do it, God. Listen, I'm telling you. You don't have to have a prayer chain with 700 people praying for you. There's nothing wrong with all of that. And thank God where two are agreed as touching anything that it's done. I believe in all of that. You don't need to be encouraged or lifted up again. You don't need 15 prayer chains to tell somebody how bad it is. You need to go outside and take your coat off and throw your umbrella away and rip your shirt open and worship in the rain. Because that's what it's all about now. His blood cleanses you from everything. Do you just start to sing it softly, Mickey? It's not a blood that's some weird, goofy something. It's how awesome God was when He created a planet that had the ability to fulfill His word. Began to set me free. Some things were difficult. I found my answers. Worship in the rain. When there's no way out, I found the answer is worship in the rain. When it looks like the end is just the beginning. As a matter of fact, the Word says the end of a thing is better than the beginning. I just begin to worship in the rains. I ask you if you'd just stand with me this morning. Under the sun is gonna shine. Could I ask you if you have a need this morning? I don't care what that need is. The powerful, awesome blood of Jesus is infused inside of you. And you see, Jerry is no longer just my friend from college. We're blood brothers. Really blood brothers. Really, really, really blood brothers. Bobby's not just my friend from college. We're blood brothers. You're my blood sister. Because the same rain that rained on me rained on you. And we're family. So as Mickey sings this, just begin to worship. Just say, Father, I didn't know how you did this. But I just worship you, Father God. In the pain, the struggle, and in the joy of life, God, I just go up and turn my face up. And I thank you that the rain of your anointing falls on me and sets me free. You'll never walk in the rain ever again after today and think of it the same way. You'll never think of it the same way. So just worship in the rain. Hallelujah. See this word this morning? I believe it's the word God gave me for here. When Jerry said, we've canceled the lake, do you still want to come? I said, oh yeah. I believe I have a word for this church. All it's about is worship in the rain.
You can be seated for a minute. Before we leave, we're going to receive a love offering for Brother Bill. But before that, I want to share this with you. As he painted the picture of all that this morning, some things came to my mind. And one of them is an old song that somebody sung sometime or other somewhere. About one drop of blood is all it took for me. Well, I was sitting there thinking, and all of a sudden I heard this little voice say, "How many DNA strands are in a drop of blood?" Now, I don't know whether you know it or not, but there may be thousands or millions of DNA strands in a single drop of blood. And then I thought of the scripture where Jesus says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Didn't say the people who were lost. Now, that's what we usually, Jesus, you know, just said that the Son of Man comes to save the lost. He says he came to save that which was lost. Now, we're part of that which is lost. But you realize that the thing that was lost that he came to save was this world? The whole world. I mean, Adam and Eve lost the whole world to the devil. And I got this revelation of the fact that when he was talking about that blood running down and into the ocean and scattered, how many millions of strands of DNA found their way into the oceans and into the rain and it's just it's a picture of what Jesus Christ did 2,000 years ago to save this world. His blood. Now the whole of creation, the whole world, the whole earth is now infused with his blood. And you know what we say, preachers? I don't say it, but I've heard a lot of preachers say it at the funeral. When you're at the graveside, ashes to ashes and dust to dust. Scripture does say, out of the dust man came, and to the dust he will return. That means we are actually part of this earth. And if we are part of this earth, we are part of that. They receive the infusion of the DNA of Jesus Christ. And in order for it to work, all we have to do is believe. To believe that the blood of Jesus is why I'm free. The blood of Jesus is why I walk in authority and power. The blood of Jesus is the reason we're will not be overtaken, we will not be overcome. The blood of Jesus. Something to think about. You know, we could have gotten a picture that since that was 2,000 years ago, all that blood's been washed away by now. You know the law of thermodynamics? Nothing is created. Nothing is destroyed. It's only changed from one form to another. So if the blood of Jesus Christ had ran down that hill 2,000 years ago, it's still around. It may have changed, and we don't recognize it as physical blood, but it's still around. And that's why we're alive. That's why we're alive. Amen. Well, thank you, Brother Bill, for that revelation this morning. God bless you, and we're going to bless you now. What we're going to do is we got a container back there, Danny. Yeah, we do. We got a bucket back there on the table. You're going to write out a check right out to New Life. If you're going to use your cash, just put it in the bucket. But put your checks in the bucket too, but you'll get credit for it if you do that. And so I want you to stand. I'm going to pray, and on your way out, you visit the bucket. And remember, what you sow is what you reap. Heavenly Father, thanks for the blood. Thanks for the blood. The blood of Calvary. And we thank you, Lord God, for the hearing of your word today. How our hearts have been lifted up, and how we've seen a much broader picture of how much you play in our lives. And that the life is in the blood. Thank you for blessing your people this week, Lord God. Let them go out of here as witnesses, sharing their testimony everywhere they go. Letting their light shine. Be a candle, Lord God, to draw people to you. Because there are so many people in the darkness and they're really looking for the light. Let us, Lord God, live in such a way that they'll see that light in us. Because you told us. You said to your disciples, you are the light of the world. Thank you, Father. Bless the offering. Blessing Brother Bill and John and their family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Greet somebody before you leave. Might help you.